Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We open our ears. Jesus, you said over and over and over again when you were here on the earth, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Well, sir, we have ears to hear. We take it. We open our ears now in Jesus' name. And we thank you and we praise you for revelation from heaven. Amen. Praise God. Would you join me again today in welcoming Dr. Caroline Leaf to this broadcast?
Thank you.
Oh, it's such a blessing to have you here. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. So good to be here.
This woman has put the scientific world on its ear, praise God, because she came at science. She's a neuroscientist, among other things, but she's in the ministry. And she came from the Word of God first, and then entered into the field of science where the brain is concerned. And she knows as much or more about the brain than anybody living today. And let me qualify that, because the Lord showed this to me about her. And that comes from the fact that she knows the Word of God. So that puts her ahead of every other brain scientist that does not know the Word of God, because the Word is already correct. Amen. And if you go at the program knowing that the Word is true and the Bible is right and scientifically correct and science is catching up with it, and the more revelation we have of the Word, then the more revelation the scientists have of science. But it comes back to the body of Christ. We've been walking in the Word of God and in revelation of the Word, particularly the last 50 years, more than any other generation since Adam.
Wow.
Amen. So the more revelation that comes into the earth by the Holy Spirit that is received by faith and walked in by the body of Christ, then the more is available to the scientist, whether they know God or not. They don't know where they get the idea, but they think, "Whoa, look at this." And then, but it's always God, all the time God. But somebody like this, born again, Holy Spirit baptized, Word of faith, living, talking, confessing child of God, gets in the mix, she's always ahead, because she hears from the Spirit of God, and the Lord can tell her what the truth of this is. So that puts her a step ahead of those that are following up and stumbling around over stuff that is not true.
Well, she's talking to one who made the brain.
Yeah. Amen.
That's good.
That's right. She's talking to the Creator.
That's right.
And he is there to reveal. Amen.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
Caroline, welcome.
Oh, we're
so
glad.
We sure appreciate you, girl.
It's
a privilege.
So good.
Let's go back to our scripture, our literal foundation scripture here, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear."
No.
Now, let me read this. Let me read it literally. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He has given us the spirit of power, and the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind."
Amen.
Now, if you have a mind full of fear, it's not sound.
Mm-mm.
You may think you have a sound mind. I mean, you know, there ain't nothing wrong with my mind. But if fear is functioning in you, you do not have a sound mind. And it will affect your brain. It will cause literal brain damage. Now, I learned that from Dr. Leaf. And I'm telling you, you know what we're doing? We're turning over a new leaf here now. We're learning some stuff here that is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Now then, on yesterday's broadcast, right there at the close-up, we were talking about what Jesus revealed when he said there was a rich man that fared sumptuously all the days of his life, and Lazarus was at his doorstep full of sores and so forth. They both died. Mm-hmm. And Lazarus was carried into the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man went into hell. Mm-hmm. Now, he looked up and saw Father Abraham,
yeah,
recognized him. So he knew more than he did on the earth.
Yeah.
And Abraham said, "Son, remember when you were on the earth?" So his memory
was intact.
Was still intact.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not just in his brain, because his brain's in a hole up there someplace.
Exactly. Disintegrated.
Yeah, it's gone. Mm-hmm. But the memory's not gone.
Exactly.
So there's a very distinct separation between the mind and the brain.
Yes.
That the mind uses the brain.
Yes.
So if the mind uses the brain, then it can physically change the brain.
That's it.
And this is what I got so excited about, because may I tell you just here for a second? I came here to hear you. You didn't come here to hear me.
And I love hearing you.
But I feel like you're probably going to tell us anyway.
I'm going to tell you anyhow.
So. I love hearing you.
I'm the one with the gold pen. So I noticed when I turned 70 that, now, my mother's family, of whom I take after,
yeah,
all of them that I know anything about, going back several generations,
mm-hmm,
that family didn't live through, except for my great grandmother, but she was actually not on the men's side of that family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My mother died at 77, the age I am right now. And her dad, and we go down through the line. They were 74, 75, 76, this is where they all died. Well, I noticed that my physical body began to go down. And I'd pray about it, you know, and stand,
yeah,
against the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the Lord about it. I said, what's happening here? He said, your body is trying to follow their DNA, that natural DNA. And I see from studying your work that you can actually change your DNA. But if everybody does the same thing, family after family after family, they're all going to have the same DNA through the years, and it's not just what they inherited from their parents.
No.
So he said, now, but since you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the word of God which lives and abides forever, he said, you have my DNA in your spirit. Now, he said, if you will take hold of that truth and speak the word of God concerning that, you will change. You'll change that, the outcome of that. Now, see, I didn't know yet that I changed my DNA through my thoughts and words.
Yeah.
But I noticed when I did that, my spiritual DNA arrested that, and I'm already ahead of that family.
Amen.
And I have committed to God to live on this earth 120 years. The days of man should be 120 years.
Exactly.
In Genesis 6:3. So now, glory, the scientific fact that you're actually changing your own physical DNA when you're believing and speaking the kind of thoughts and words that come from God. Now do something with that.
Okay, so Ecclesiastes 7:29 says, I made them perfect, but they choose to go down their own pathway. So we take that, I made them perfect, virtuous, but they choose to go down their own pathway. Take Deuteronomy 30:19, I lay before you life and death,
yes,
blessing and cursing, choose you life, choose life, so that you and your descendants may live. The iniquity of the fathers will reach through to the third and the fourth generation, but we're not responsible for our father's sin. So there's a whole pattern. We have a love, power, and a sound mind. So if I take just those few scriptures and we look at the fact that we're made in God's image, we're made with a love, power, and a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. That's our normal. Our normal natural is that we are made perfect, able to make good choices, designed to be aligned with God, made in His image. So all of our spirit is perfect, which we know. Our soul, then God gives us the soul, which is the ability to choose, and then we have this physical body. So the body has to do the bidding of the soul, which has to do the bidding of the spirit, which is designed to be led by the Spirit of God. And as you know, if you're not born again, the spirit is unregenerated. So we've got a soul that is now not being led by anything because the spirit is unregenerated. So until we are born again, we've got to regenerate our spirit. But if we take man that is unregenerated, we've got a soul and a body. So the soul is still the intellect, will, and the emotion. The soul is our thinking, choosing, and feeling, and it's reacting to the events and circumstances of life. So man is in life with this ability to react, to think and to choose. We're going to react, whether mm-hmm. regardless or that's the design of how God has made us. We're going to respond to the world. We're going to react. Whatever reaction we have changes the DNA, and the DNA then expresses and it builds either that, which is what our body's wired for. So whether you're born again or not, your body's wired for love because that's the design that God has made. And if we make a wrong choice, we build that. So when we're born again, we then have obviously a regenerated spirit being led by the spirit. So when we make our choices, we now have that ability to guide our choices. So here we are in life and we are facing the events and circumstances of life, and we can choose. We have that love, power, and sound mind to choose even without the regenerated spirit. As we choose, we cause the DNA to change. Our choices, the signal of our mind is changing totally. So as we go, so the thoughts that we are thinking now, right at this moment, are impacting every single one of the cells of our body. The thoughts that we are thinking now are impacting those that we are in relationship with right now. Although we can't see what's happening in the spiritual world and in the quantum world, which I'll explain in a moment, every thought that we are thinking is impacting ourselves plus those that we are in relationship with, because we are entangled in each other's lives. Mm-hmm. It's affecting the future generations as well, because the thoughts from your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, and your mother has come through the sperm and the ova. So whatever thoughts we have as we go through life that we build into our heads basically passes through the sperm and the ova to the next four generations,
affecting the cells.
It's affecting the cells. It actually gets captured inside. Exactly. The cells of 75 to 100 trillion cells in our body are impacted by every single thought that we think. So it's captured as a physical thing. It's passed through the generations, but it's passed. Here's the great news. What comes through the generation is zipped up. Can I use this for a moment?
Certainly.
To demonstrate? So here is something from your great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, great-grandfather, passed through the sperm and the ova. Here's a thought wrapped up in protein. It's wrapped up in protein. It's dormant. It's not going to do anything unless you say, oh, my father died at 77. My grandfather died at 77. That fearful thought is a signal of the mind that goes and unzips, and now we're going to express, your glasses are now becoming someone dying at 77. So it expresses the gene. But if I don't do that, it doesn't happen. If I say...
Now we know. Now we... I had... You remember Jimmy Hester? Mm-hmm. Pastored there in Arlington for years and years. Good friend of ours. Just wonderful man. We both like to ride motorcycles. And I walked into a motorcycle shop that I went over to get something. And Jimmy was sitting there at the counter. This was years ago. And he was sitting on a stool at the sales counter,
yeah,
there, because he'd gotten a call. And he waved me to come on in. And he finished calling. He said, I just got the results of my physical that I just took. he said, and I need to thank your mother. I said, what are you talking about, Jim? He said, all my dad, my brothers, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, all died of heart trouble. And he said, my mother told me, she said, now you need to be careful because all the Hester men have heart trouble and they all die young.
Now that's a signal that she would have spoken over. So that literally, if you receive that as an adult speaking to a child trusts an adult. So you can literally build that toxicity into. That's the thing. He built one of these.
Yeah. Yeah. He literally activated
this.
Now when my mother had a prayer group, always she had a prayer group, and it gets big. You couldn't get around her house, and then she'd turn it over to somebody. They'd make a church out of it, and she'd wait a couple of years and start over again with 10, and then do it again. Well, somebody took him over to her prayer group, and this was years and years and years before, and they took Jimmy in there, and for prayer. She said, what is it? He said, and he quoted all that to her. She said, what's the truth about that? He said, lady, I just told you the truth. He said, my daddy died of a heart attack. My granddaddy died of a heart attack. My great-granddaddy died of a heart attack. And the Hester men don't live very long, and I've got heart trouble now. She said, I ask you for the truth about that. He said, lady, I just told you the truth about it. He said, Kenneth, she boxed my ears. She said, she hit me upside the head like that. She literally slapped both of his ears, bang, like this. She said, Isaiah 53:3-5 is the truth about this. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, and by his stripes we are healed. You understand the truth about that? And he said, I just sit there in shock. I said, yeah. She saw death on him.
And she spoke over
him. And she had to change it right then. She didn't have time to deal with him. And mother walked in strong prayer, and she walked in the discerning of spirits. She saw it. She saw it on him. And he told me, he said, she boxed my ears and she changed my thinking in a moment's time.
You probably knew what he's talking about when she said she boxed my ears.
Whoa, yeah, man. She'd hit you in the head with her hands cupped like that. Oh, whoa, it's just,
boy. Pain is.
But she broke through that.
She broke through. And see, that's the thing. He had to receive that signal in his mind. He had to receive those words.
Yeah.
And then he had to make a
choice.
It
was shielded, wasn't it, up until then?
Yes, but he still, exactly. So she spoke that life into him, but he still had to choose to believe her. He could have walked out of there and said, like, crazy old lady. Or he could have said, okay, this is actually a reality. So the fact that it didn't happen to him means that he took that in.
Yeah.
Allow those words to go to this and destroy this. In other words, this thing was then thrown in the fire. Instead of being opened and expressed, it was physically destroyed. That's the power we have. We can express it and live out of it, or we can destroy it. And it's all through our mind. It's all through the thoughts that we are thinking. And if we are aligning with God, we're going to speak the correct words.
And he's in his 80s today.
Well, there you go. You see, he destroyed that. It doesn't have to happen. We are not bound by
that. Jesus, thank you for your word. That is so good.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, man.
So we can destroy. So we are not bound by. This is the whole thing. It comes through the generations, but it's dormant unless destroyed or activated. So whatever we say and do is first a thought inside of our head. So God gives us this incredible gift of being able to think and choose. We're quite brilliant. We have the ability to process the incoming information from the world outside, cause the DNA to express, and it gets captured. And then we live from what we build. So our mind processes, it's captured, and then the physical then generates energy, and that's what we actually speak from. So when like now I'm speaking, you speaking, we're not speaking from nothing. We are speaking from physical thoughts made of proteins and all kinds of chemical structures inside of our brain that look like trees. If you think of that scripture, Revelations 22:5, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So the leaves that we build on our trees are either for healing or destruction. And that's the choice that we have. So we're not bound by the sins of our father. And we call that epigenetics. It's actually called the science of epigenetics. Epi over and above the genes. The fact that our mind controls genetic expression. Because everything about us being alive, everything about us being alive sitting here today is because our genes are expressing. But genes are just hardware. Like a computer, we can't, this phone is not going to do anything unless I actually make it do something. So my mind is the signal that actually activates the genes. The genes are like just a little computer chip sitting there. They're not going to do anything until you actually switch the computer on and start activating. So your mind is the signal. 75 to 98%, well, it's actually of illnesses today come from our thought life. In other words, the physical illnesses come from our thought life. What we know from science is that the signal of the mind is up to 98 to 99% of the control that is happening in our body. The other sort of 2 to 5%, somewhere around there, comes from what we are eating, what we're inhaling, what we're taking through medication, in other words, chemicals. So in other words, the majority of the power of how we function is from our thought life.
Now, in the natural world, they've got it up like this. They're trying to control everything
through
with
the physical,
what they eat, their exercise program.
And medication.
And, yeah, education.
And medications.
Oh, yeah.
So taking chemicals.
Once the damage is done.
Yeah.
And then you try to control it chemically, but the chemicals. Oh, thank you, Lord, for reminding me of that. I'm praying, oh God, heal me. Now, then I've got medicine over here that is trying to work, but in my thought life and in my actual words, I keep saying I'm sick.
Exactly.
I've set up a war between my body and that medicine.
And that's called cognitive dissonance in the brain.
What? Sadie?
Cognitive dissonance. So in other words, what you are thinking is 95 to 99% of the factor. Only what you're saying and what you're doing is only a 1% of the factor. So in other words, in terms of what is going to actually happen is based on what you are thinking in your non-conscious mind. That's why James 1:21 is so important. The implanted word will save your soul. So when what we plant in our mind is going to be determining what we say. So we can be saying, my God shall meet all my needs, my God shall heal. But what we're thinking is, doesn't work for me, I don't really believe the word. But we're saying it because we're supposed
to
say
it. You're not saying it with any faith.
Mm. Exactly, there's no faith. And the faith is
saying it without the power behind it.
Exactly.
To back it up.
And the power is the 95%.
Girl,
95 to 99%.
We're out of time.
We don't want to hear that. We're not through.
No, I'm not through either. We'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.